Well, I'm not going to share long. We don't want to keep you too long, but I just wanted to follow on from what Rachel has shared with just a brief exhortation. You ready for that?
Yes.
Is that good? Okay. So we're talking about prayer today and answered prayer, and I just felt to share about memorials. Every single person in this room will have a memorial in their life, like what Rachel shared about that lady in the hut. You see, you don't always realize it. You don't always know it. But, you know, I look back over my life and I've thought about this many times about the ways God has intervened in my life. Even when I would say I wasn't really walking with him, I didn't really know. I had a vague faith, but that was all I had because that's all that was around me. And, you know, when I was a child, I was walking down the street with my friend, and then out of the blue, the vicar's wife came along and said, "Oh, hello, little girls, what are you doing?" And my friend said, "Well, what are you good at?" And she said, "Well, she can sing." And don't worry, I can't sing now. And and she said, "Really? Well, you must join our choir." And I was like, "Oh, okay, great." So off I went. I never hardly ever stepped into church before, apart from Christmas and Easter. And there I found myself in a little robe going along from the age of 10 alone every week to church to sing in the choir, coming back and knowing Jesus through the liturgy. I'll come back, and we didn't have worship songs, so I'd sing, you know, the lead up to the communion. So it was just like, but I think of that. You know, and you will have had things like that in your childhood. If you look back, you will see that God has been working on your life from the moment you came, from your mother's womb, from your conception. You see, there is never a time in your life that God wasn't lovingly looking over you. And I think about my teenage years. I remember, you know, at uni, you know, when you cross the you're too busy on your bike, right? And you want to get across the lights and you don't wait for them to change properly. Has anyone ever done that? Hopefully not in your cars. And I went across this road, a semi-trailer truck. What do you call them here? Lorry, the giant one? Yes, one of those, a tanker type thing, came right there. One came right there. In the middle, suddenly my bike was stationary in between these two trucks. And I just went like, you know how time just passes like a phase and you can't quite work it out? I got to the other side of the road and I fell off the bike because I was shaking with just, you know, literally being kept in slow motion between two trucks and should have been squashed. And the first thing that came to my mind was an angel just saved you. And I went, what? What angels? I don't even believe in angels. And I just took that in my heart and I was like, gosh, God was working. And that's what you can see. Like my heart was slowly awakening to who God was. And, you know, and I think about, you know, then when I was young, went off to uni and everything. And I had this encounter with God on the road on the way back from uni because I was saying, God, there must be more to life than this. There has to be more. There has to be more. And he revealed himself to me. And, you know, it's like a Damascus Road experience, where I was just going along and I just said, I started to sing Amazing Grace. We don't have that in my background, that song. And I say, at the point where I sang, I once was blind, but now I see. I'm not joking. Light came into my whole being and I just saw light like that. And I just went, oh my God, God is real. Wow, this is real. And all my searching, which was mental searching, which was doing courses, which was looking up things online, all my cerebral searching with my mind didn't get me to where this place is. Because as you know, it's like the things of God, aren't they? Revealed to us by the Spirit of God. That's what we need, don't we? That's what the world needs. And then, you know, thinking about every phase in my life, every phase, whether it was, you know, there I was off in Southeast Asia, you know, trying to be Jackie Pullinger, had my dreams. And, you know, I was like, right, Lord, so off we go to Myanmar now, after I was with you for the mission for some time out there. I was like, we're going to go and help the druggies in the Golden Triangle. And sure enough, God says, London. And I'm like, no, hold on. I'm not going to London. Why do I want to go there for? I don't like London. and again, London. And I went, no. London. Okay, I'll go. So I know, I'll go to London and I'll get some support for my missions work. And then I'll go back to Myanmar. So I wrote to the missions director. Guess who that was? Da, da, da. And the rest is history. So I wrote to Phil. I met him 4 days after I arrived. At the end of our meeting, he said, would you like to come out next Saturday? That was the end of that. But we have been on a lot of missions together. God has done more than I could ever imagine. You know, it chills me to think that I could have said no to God. Oh my gosh. Wow. Because we know that God works all things together for good. If you have a plan for your life right now, right, and you think you can do it, it's not big enough. If you have a plan that involves, you know, not asking God and not really giving it to God because you're afraid that if you give it to God, he will send you to Mongolia or something. Because there's that old school thought, isn't there? That if you hand your life over to God, he's going to make you do horrible things. And, you know, things, you're just going to live this boring life. You know, it's like teenagers, hey, you're here, right? If you give your life to God, you live the best life ever. That's it. It won't be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It'll be the best. It will be the best, because you'll be connected with the one who created you. And, you know, every restriction that people say, Christians, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, actually, you don't have to. That's how it is, because you are free to live the fullness of a life God has for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it wonderful? Yes. Okay, I'm nearly done. Just one more little bit of exhortation here. So when we have these encounters, and this is for you guys, right? It says in Psalm 105, verse 5, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders. And then it goes on to say in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him and tell others the night and day difference he's made for you. And just this sense in which every person, I want to challenge you, okay, this week, today, think, ask God, show me some of my memorials. Show me some of those moments where you saved my life, where you broke into my life, where you led me down the right path when I was about to go off and do something really stupid, where you broke in. You've made a night and day. Jesus has made a night and day difference in my life. It's like, I was telling someone the other day, they were like, you know, I work in a hospital, and they were sharing faith stories with me. And, you know, they were like, oh, I kind of know him, but we were talking, and they were like, but it's so deeply entrenched in me, my love for Jesus and him by his spirit being in me, that if he shook me upside down and grabbed me by the ankles, it wouldn't come out. Do you know what I mean? It's just like my very backbone, the very core, the steel within you. That's who God is in you. And he will never leave you. He will never stop being there. Even if you feel like, oh, I'm tired, I'm weary, things are not working out. You know, this, don't worry about that stuff. The stuff is the real stuff, the life and death stuff, isn't it? The real stuff, the stuff that really matters. So if you have a memorial, I want to challenge you. Meditate on it, pray it, think about it. Ask God to show you someone that you can share that with, and it will be a light and day difference for them as well. Isn't that right? You don't need to be an evangelist. You just need to be yourself, because there's only one of you with one story, and your story will make a difference to someone. Every single person in this room has a story that can help someone. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to go and study. Just be yourself and share what God has done. I think that's, if the world could see us Christians living like that, I think they might want a bit more of it, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, nearly there. Couple more points. I just want to check, is everyone in this room still breathing? Okay, so if you're still breathing, God has a destiny for you. If you're still breathing, Okay, that's the minimum requirement, is breath. So it's not like, have I got my life together? Am I doing this long quiet time? Am I, you know, doing serving this way? Am I, whatever you think some big criteria is for you to have a destiny, you have a destiny, and that is it. Okay, you're breathing, you're alive, and it's a God-given destiny. And there are defining moments in your life that you can think about that give you, if you're like thinking, well, I'm just going through the 9 to 5. I get up in the morning, the alarm goes, right? Off you go, off to work. You do all the stuff. You come home, you have dinner, you do more work, you do more this, more that. You go to bed, wake up. This is life, right? And this is what we, you know, we all have to live by routines and we all have to get on with it. But at the end of the day, I want you to think this week about what are the defining moments in your life that give you an understanding of seeds of destiny that you have not yet fulfilled. Because if you're, it doesn't matter how old you are. I was going to talk about Moses, but boy, that's going to take way too long. We'll talk about that another time. But Moses, you know, he was 80 years old when he had his moment with God at the burning bush. Come on. And then you have children in the Bible who encounter God. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're young or old, right? 80 is quite, I mean, it's not that old these days, but it's quite, you know, to start in ministry then, it's quite a bit interesting, isn't it? You must be thinking, could I not have done this when I was 40? But anyway, so defining moments. Ask God, what is the defining moment you want to speak into my life to talk to me about my destiny? Yeah? And when I was a child, again, sorry about this, this is not to trip down my memory lane, but it just might help someone. When I did, my family are quite competitive, quite high achieving, okay? Yes, you can see what, how I turned out like this, which is like, oh, life is hard, no. Anyway, so there I was running the running race, and this was like one of the early ones in primary. It's one of those moments you never forget, right? And I was leading right far ahead of everyone, running really fast and winning the race. My parents were like, yay, yay, cheer me on. And I got right near the finishing line and I stopped. And I turned around and I waved at my friends and said, come on. And over we went together because I wanted them to win the race with me. I know. And it's, but my parents made me feel really bad about it. I'm sorry, they're lovely parents. But they were like, why didn't you run faster and why didn't you this and that? And it affected me. I know it's pathetic, but it really affected me for years because I thought, gosh, you know, I'm not a winner, you know. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have done that. And oh, why? And, you know, all this stuff came into my life at that point. It's mad, isn't it? But I bet you, you've had stuff come in your lives, right? Childhood, teenage, maybe last week, whatever it was. Defining moments, right? And so from those defining moments, we can either go, right, I'm going to fall down now and feel sorry for myself forever, okay? Or we can say, God, what do you want to tell me about that? What do you want to speak to me about that difficult defining moment or that upsetting or that silly defining moment, which that really was? And, you know, he spoke to me about what that meant for me as a person and the things I was meant to do for him and how I was meant to cheer people on with my life, how I was meant to be an encourager. And God wants to encourage you. There are people here who need encouragement. There are people around you who need to hear something like that, okay? And just to allow God to take moments in your life, bring healing to you, but also show you the things that are stirring up within you, the passion in your heart. What makes you mad? What makes you sad? What makes you go, gosh, that shouldn't happen? This is like Moses, you know, when he got hopping mad when he saw the Israelite being mistreated. That's what you need to go, right, God, you've got seeds of destiny in me. I'm going to now find a way to pursue just one step towards doing something about that. Yeah, just one thing, Lord. And that is just one step on the way. You know, the world just needs to see Christians who actually living with destiny, not just living for all the stuff out there. You know, there's people out there, they're buying stuff to impress people they don't like. trying to, you know, do things and earn their way in life to try and impress others that, you know, and it's like this one-upmanship, this worldly values. We can't live with those worldly values. We can't be in that worldly system, isn't it right? We've got to be ones who cheer each other on, not pull each other down, isn't that right? We've got to be ones who want others to do well. Like Rachel's beautiful. Oh my gosh, 40 days. I feel like being mean to you, so you'll pray for me. 40 days of prayer. Come on. I mean, yeah, this is, she's not just going, yeah, whatever. She is rich. She really meant that. And that's the thing, isn't it? We can actually say, well, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live for God. And when you live for God, oh my gosh, life is amazing. It is so not easy. It's never easy. Stuff is happening all the time, isn't that right? But nothing, you know, Moses, he had his 40 years in the wilderness. You know, it's like 40 years, and then 80. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, we could have done this a bit quicker, couldn't we? And there are people here who are thinking, well, I've been waiting a long time. Well, I feel like God is saying, take one step. Take one step. What's the step? God's step, not your step, not your, like me going off to Myanmar. What's God's step? Take the time to not be afraid to hear. What's something I can do to make a difference for you, Lord? Not just live for myself. I know you don't. There's people in here. You just really serve. You're amazing. You're amazing at praying. You're a beautiful bunch, really. But just this sense, you know, that I just want to make a difference, Lord. Because our lives are really short. They're like a drop in the ocean, isn't that right? I mean, how many people say to me, gosh, how does it get to be October? We only just did, you know, isn't that right? I mean, we were just enjoying summer and now we're all freezing again. This is not good. No, it is okay, but, you know, it's not the best being cold, is it? And, you know, it's like Moses, we need those defining moments to change us. Yeah, we need to, even if we need to ask for a new one, because you need to meet the one who says, I am who I am. That when you meet the one who says, I am who I am, the one who is the self-existent one, the one who needs no one else, the one who holds everything in this whole universe together, he holds your life in his hands. He's carrying you. How many times has he carried us? Carried us like we couldn't put a foot in front of the other sometimes when pain or grief or people die or, you know, stuff happens and it's just, you think, I can't go on. And then God breaks in. It's just, wow, we need to meet the I am. We need an encounter with I am who I am, who Moses met out in that wilderness. If you're in a wilderness today, wilderness in your career, your family, your sense of self, ask God to meet with you. Say to God you need him. He will meet with you. That is, look, a tiny open heart. The Father's chasing us. That book about God chasers, yes, okay. There are God chasers. Good. It's a good book. But actually God is chasing us more. He's chasing you. And he's been chasing you your whole life like he was chasing me, even stopping me from getting hit by trucks and, you know, and just this sense in which, yeah, you're going to go through stuff. Life is going to be hard always, but also beautiful. So we can either see the beauty of what God is doing in the world, can't we? Just like we can see, like Rachel, we can see the beauty in others. We can see the potential in others. We can go around with our little critical hats on going, well, they didn't do this and they don't do that. And, oh, and I'm, you know, we can go around like that or we can go around loving people. And going, Lord, show me, that person really annoyed me just then. Show me what you think of them. Yeah? That person always sort of looks at me sideways. Well, why don't you just say, Lord, show me how to look at them with love. Yeah? I tell you what, love it overcomes, doesn't it? Love overcomes. It's incredible. There's someone, you know, there's a family member right now who, you know, we had some things happen. Not Phil or Silas, one of my many brothers. And, you know, and I just felt to tell him how much I loved him. And I felt something break in my heart because I know I wasn't in the right place with him, you know. And I do love him. And just, I needed to let it go. you know? And life is so short. Why would we have arguments with people? Why would we hold on to stuff? Why would we let hurts get in the way? Like, why would people leave churches because they got hurt? Don't do that. I don't have a choice. I can't leave. So, you know, I can't not turn up on Sunday morning. You know, someone offended me. Oh, well, I have to set the alarm and go anyway. You know, I've had to work through stuff like that. So that's a privilege for me. But, you know, stuff is always going to happen. But we just, you know, as it says in James 1 verse 2, this is my final word. Okay, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Count it all joy, it says, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. And just this sense in which we will always be going through trials in this life. And yet, there is something beautiful that happens through all of it. And I think about the worst things. Don't think about the worst things now. You go away crying. But just some of the memorials in your life will have been painful ones. I want to challenge you to say, God, show me how you work all things together for good, even with that one, even with the hardest one. What's the hardest thing you've ever been through? I promise you, not because I'm me, because the word, Jesus' word says, Romans 8:28, what is it? You know it. It's not just some little sticker that Christians put on the back of their cars. This is the word of God. And today says to every single one of us, I work all things together for good. You're called and you're loved by God. And that is absolutely certain. He can work the worst thing, the most horrible, horrible thing that's ever happened to you. He can work it together for good. He can bring something beautiful out of the ashes. Because our God, you know, Jesus, he rose from the dead. He rose out of the worst place ever. That mangled body, mangled on the cross, like, you know, mashed. It's all mashed and, you know, every part of him, like Darren was saying the other day, spiritually broken, emotionally, everything went on him. And then he went alive. And you can all have it too. Wow. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to pray for Rachel. Lord, we just thank you. This is your promise to us today. I just pray for every person who's here or watching. May you know that God will work all things together for good in your life. May you know that you have memorials in your life of God's faithfulness. Remind us. May we never forget. May we never, never, never forget, Lord, your goodness to us. May we know every person here who's lacking vision, Lord, put your vision in their hearts, Lord. Thank you that each one here is breathing, thank God. And may each one find those seeds of destiny this week through their memorials by encountering you, the great I am. And just say in your heart now, I need to encounter you, the great I am, because you are I am. You are the self-existent one. You are the one who is always there. Thank you, Lord, for a life lived with you is a life of such adventure. So I pray for adventures for all of us. May we have an adventurous week in you. And may we fulfill our destiny and not live out our days without doing it. In Jesus' name, bless each person here with divine destiny in their hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.